let's just start with a prayer, and then we'll start with our program, because you're already getting into good information here, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Simon Stock,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray
for us.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So this is another episode of what I call a band of Mary's men. And Rosalie, we'll have to call it a band of Mary's men and a lady today as well, because I kind of got the notion that Robin Hood was kind of like an outlier. And we first started doing these little interviews in promoting the co-redemption, which seemed to be contrary to the status quo of theological opinion. So the program is kind of always has a little bit of a, I guess, not challenging, but just questioning sometimes the popular narrative that is out there today. And I think today with this program on the scapular and your book that you put together on the authenticity of the scapular, which we're going to put a picture of that up here when we put this program out there, I thought it would be appropriate for an episode of A Band of Mary's Men, since this year is the 770th anniversary. That's what I originally contacted Dr. Festigi about, and we have with us Dr. Festigi, a theologian at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, and Rosalia Carrig, who is the author of this, a tome, I would say, on the authenticity of the scapular devotion, or an excellent book with a lot of information, that we, on this, the anniversary of the scapular apparition, the 770th anniversary, it'd be good to go back and bring more attention to the importance of the scapular devotion. And then Dr. Festigi mentioned to me about how it's really significant. Next year, 2022, is the 700th anniversary of the Sabbatine privilege, which is another great grace given to us through Pope John the 22nd. And so I thought it's important that we speak about that in this program and introduce your work, Rosalia, to our audience, because you've done a lot to help, I think, reinforce the importance of the scapular devotion. So Rosalia, I guess, first of all, would just briefly explain to our audience how you got involved in this work of the scapular that you put together, and just give a little background behind it.
Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you for inviting me also. You know, for years, many years, there was always something about this scapular that attracted me. It was like a magnet. And my husband was a member of the Men of the Sacred Heart. We would bring the Fatima statue into the homes, and we had supplies to bring people, and some of them were scapulars. But I didn't know very much about it. So I went in search of finding either a video or literature on the scapular. And I found the videotape of Father Howard Rafferty made in the 1950s on the stories of the Brown Scapular. Well, from that point, a friend and I, we went to Father Hardin and we said, you know, Father, this is a wonderful videotape. It helps people to engage in the devotion if they can see it with their own eyes, if they can see the pictures, hear the voice, and understand the power of the promise made by our Blessed Mother. And so we said, Father, these are old slides on a video. They're very informative, but we want to update it a little bit because there are an abundance of miracles that cannot even be contained in one book on the miracles that have happened to those that have worn the scapular. So he said, he called us, I was in Wisconsin at the time, and he said, called and he said, yes, I want you to remake the film. And I went to my spiritual director because everything I did was under the direction of my spiritual director and with his permission only. So I went to him and he said, well, if this is what Father Hardin is saying, you can remake the film. And I thought, this would be wonderful. Let's redo this film. Let's update it with current miracles and show people the protection that our Blessed Mother promised that is so real and so true. So we started researching in different libraries. I started with the University of Dayton Marian Library in Ohio. We went there, and then eventually I went to the Blue Army, and I found materials over there. But I started to notice that something wasn't right. There were materials that I had come across that were doubting the authenticity of the vision of St. Simon Stock to our Blessed Mother, certainly saying that the Sabbatine Bull of John the 22nd was apocryphal, saying that it was a myth, it was a legend, it wasn't true. So I went back to my spiritual director and I said, well, what do I do now? I'm looking at these publications that are saying that he really did not appear to St. Simon Stock, that it was a legend, and you know, there's no basis, no foundation for it. So he said to me, well, obviously you can't make a film on updating the scapular miracles unless you get to the bottom of this and find out the truth. So that's when the journey began, because, and honestly, as I mentioned before, there was never, never in my mind any intention of writing a book, putting a book together. I just had the evidence in my hand. These were the authentic documentations that I had read on, that the church had sanctioned for hundreds of years. These are the publications I'm looking at that are saying it's not true. Well, who do I believe and what do I do? I had believed it my entire life, but from the materials that I was reading, I began to question it myself.
Rosalie, I could say that I could also concur with you on that, because even as a child growing up, and as I was attracted to the scapular and seeing all the beauty of it, and you know, and as of course as a child you have this, you don't question, you know, miraculous things and God can do miracles. Then all of a sudden, that as I got older and I became like even a third order Carmelite, it was like they were trying to distance themselves from anything that had to do with like historicity, that somehow in the Middle Ages these people were always into believing in myths, and that somehow the church sanctioned myths, and that, yeah, you know, because we don't have actually live videotape or some written document that says I so-and-so saw the Pope receive this, you know, that somehow they questioned this whole validity of the scapular. And so I know that I've seen that video that you talk about, that little film strip, very simple but very profound. Yeah. And it did so much, I think, to even when you show it today to people, as you say, it does so much to awaken their confidence and their faith that this is something that Our Lady would give, and she would keep her promises. So you went on and pursued this work that you had, and it led you farther than you anticipated. Is that right?
Absolutely, Father. I never dreamed in my life that I would be going to Rome, and I went several times by the grace of God. And also, I had become very familiar with an organization here that Father Hardin was a part of. So I went to, and I had seen often Cardinal Gagnon, and at the time he was Bishop Burke, not Cardinal Burke. And so we became familiar and we became good friends. And I my spiritual director said, ask them for letters of introduction to go into the libraries in Rome. So Cardinal Gagnon wrote very beautiful letters, several of them, to many of the libraries in Rome, both in English and in Italian, as did Bishop Burke at the time. So they were all aware that we were coming to do this research out there. And I frankly still remember the very first trip to Rome. We were driving to the airport, and I looked up at the sky and I said, Blessed Mother, I don't know where this will lead me. You direct me. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing or why or how, but you lead the way. And this was my thought on the way to the airport. And so from that time, by the grace of God, we were given a place to stay in Rome with sisters of the, they're called the Oblate Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And their mission is to spread the Fatima message. And they give missions in the different churches. a teaching on the rosary and the scapular. However, at that time, when I first started out there, they were not promoting the scapular because they were told not to at the time. The very sisters at the convent where I stayed. So I went there and we were very blessed to be able to go. There were several libraries we went into, the Vatican Library, the Theresianum, the St. Albert College, the Pontifical North American College. We went to very different places, and by the grace of God, I was able to take out many different publications in different languages. Because I thank God for this too. I am Italian, so I could understand the Italian, and the Spanish is very similar, and French I had already studied. So I found many different publications in different languages, which of course Dr. Fastigi translated when I brought them back for the different parts of the book to prove and to defend the scapular, which I had seen was under attack. And interestingly enough, I found the specific documents that were being used to substantiate this inauthenticity that I was reading in different publications. So when Dr. Fastigi translated that, we were able to see where they were coming from, what they were based on, when the attack began, because it was when St. Simon Stock, and I just want to say this briefly, St. Simon Stock was a man of great sanctity. He was a holy man, a very holy man. And his story is, I'm sure you know, Father, that he lived in the trunk of a tree and that he joined the Carmelites and became provincial general of the Carmelites in 1245 when he was 80 years old. So the thing is this. There are documentations that prove when Our Lady appeared to him that night, July 16th, 1251, she gave him specific directions to go to Pope Innocent IV to obtain protection for their order because their order was under attack. They had come from the east to the west and they were not accepted by the other orders. They were ridiculed and mocked and persecuted and they were treated as outcasts. And St. Simon Stock was just like a child crying in the dark. It was pathetic because he was so brokenhearted to see what was happening to his order that he was compelled to get on his knees and beg the Mother of God that night on July 16th to bring a remedy to the order. And she, when she appeared to him and gave him the scapular of the order, these are the words, and I'd like to recite them again because I think this is so important. Receive, my dearest son, the scapular of your order, the sign of my confraternity, a privilege for yourself and all Carmelites. Anyone dying in this habit shall not suffer eternal fire. It is a sign of salvation, a safeguard in dangers, and a pledge of peace and of an everlasting alliance. I was overwhelmed with this promise. She addressed him, my dearest son. This is the love she has for her children, her love for St. Simon Stock, her love for every single one of us. We need to see the love of a mother here that is beyond any love that we can possibly comprehend. And what did she give us? The clothing from heaven, for not just to protect our soul from the fires of hell, if worn properly with the proper disposition, absolutely. But it's a sign of salvation, a safeguard in dangers, which I know we're not going to talk about miracles today, maybe at another time. But I cannot tell you the abundance of miracles that have taken place and still to this day are taking place because Our Lady keeps her promise. So she also gave Simon Stock the instruction to go to Pope Innocent IV to obtain that protection for their order. And he did. So within 6 months.
So you found all this, documented in some kind of, in other words, it wasn't just like, oh, we have this story that St. Simon said he received this vision of Our Lady, but actually there was some more detailed information about what Our Lady told him to do.
Absolutely, Father. Absolutely. I have the copies of the witnesses and the writings of many, many, many historians in the Carmelite order, many of the Carmelites, ancient ancient writings that I was able to find by the grace of God and the assistance of our Blessed Mother and Holy Ghost. And so this is what was discovered. The further instructions of Our Lady were to go to Pope Innocent IV and obtain that, which within 6 months, he issued those letters of protection and those commands that the Carmelites were no longer to be molested, harassed, rejected, abused. They were suffering terribly. So within 6 months' time, everything was overturned, which is proof, along with so much other proof, that she did appear to Simon Stock, because you can see that change that took place in the order because of the letters.
It even changed their habit, because before their habit didn't have a scapular, and their distinctive sign was this striped mantle of brown and white stripes, which was very Eastern looking.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why they were rejected, because of their habit. Mm-hmm. It didn't coincide well with the other orders in the West. So that was changed. So you can see the changes that were even in the chapters that were held after that, the Carmelite chapters. They were told that they had to sleep with the scapular on. There were so many different things that took place that we know as proof that she did appear beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then, you know, again, I'll bring this up. The miracles are the divine stamp of our Lord, the stamp of approval that this is true. It cannot be denied. So in Italy, finding that documentation was really the grace of God and our Blessed Mother's assistance. And that's what showed me through all these different publications that, and it really confirmed my faith, because I had always believed it, but I started to look at those materials and I thought, wait a minute, what are they saying? So in a lot of the things that were brought back, there was proof beyond a shadow of a doubt. And a lot of these testimonies of the historical documentation, which I read a lot of it when I was in the archives of some of the libraries in Rome. So we know, you know, and I like to rattle. So
Rosalia,
stop me if I'm too
much,
Father.
When you speak about, you know, them questioning St. Simon Stock and whether he even existed or not, you know, I know that firsthand because I had a friendship with Father Redemptus Maria Vollebeck, who was in the Carmelites. He was on their general council in Rome, and he was the postulator for the causes of saints for them. And he admitted to me that after Vatican II, when the religious orders were supposed to go back and look at their liturgical celebrations, that the Carmelites were even thinking of eliminating St. Simon Stock from their calendar of celebrations. And he had to plead with them to leave him in as an optional memorial, because they acted like, well, we're not sure he even existed. And as he said, and as you said, and the church does not celebrate myths, does not celebrate imaginary things, nor does Our Lady work miracles to give affirmation to something that's not true.
This is exactly right, Father. This is exactly right. You know, and I was thinking the other day, the church goes through such tedious preparation before even a saint is canonized. And correct me, Robert, if this is not in the correct order, but even in the canonization process, you have a servant of God, venerable, blessed, and then your saint. So the church is very careful before it even canonizes a saint. Why would the church approve with documentation and bulls and decrees and indulgences something that wasn't true? And this became very evident to me. Go ahead, Robert.
No, I think it's so clear that so many popes have celebrated the anniversary of the giving of the scapular to St. Simon Stock. So many popes have encouraged the wearing of the scapular. And we know when the attempt was made on the life of St. John Paul II, there were photographs of him wearing the scapular. And he was very clear that Our Lady of Fatima, who also, according to Sister Lucia, was connected with not only the Immaculate Heart, but also the scapular and the rosary, that these are all devotions that converge together, and they're highly recommended by popes and saints. And so we should not disparage them. I would just mention also about our the vision of Pope John the 22nd that leads to the bull, the Sabbatine bull of March 3rd, 1322, your book does a marvelous job of refuting the arguments against that have tried to show this bull was inauthentic or a myth. And even some well-meaning people and sources, they just accept this without adequate investigation. For example, I looked at the article on the Sabbatine privilege in the Old Catholic Encyclopedia, 1912, questions its authenticity. But then were these great Carmelite scholars in the 20th century that you cite, Ziberta and Bezalduch and others, they all show that the arguments against it are rather frivolous. Yeah. I mean, most of them go back to this Jansenist and Gallican Jean de Lannoy, who lived in the 17th century, died in 1678. But he was called the remover or the critic of saints. That seemed to be his hobby of trying to disprove devotions to various saints, St. Catherine of Alexandria and others. So he was called the denicheur, the one who of saints, the one who tries to remove saints. But 27 of his books were put on the index, and he violated the order of Pope Paul V, who said there should be no public writings against the Immaculate Conception. But he violated that. And Pope Benedict XIV said he was a great enemy of the papacy because he was a Gallican and a conciliarist, thinking a council was above the Pope, which is a heresy. So he was actually a heretic.
And What time did he live?
From 1601 to 1678.
Was he kind of like a precursor of some of the Protestant or modernists, maybe?
Yes, the Protestants cite him very often. Because he was because it supports the idea against the authority of the Pope and also against many of our great devotions. So he was removed from the faculty of the University of Paris because he opposed the Pope's removal of this Jansenist theologian, Antoine Arnauld, who was a great Jansenist. But, you know, regarding this bull of 1322, the arguments against this authenticity are rather, let us say, weak. I mean, even Jean Lannoy says this 1613 document of the Holy Office disputed the authenticity. Actually, it does the just opposite if you read it.
Exactly.
And so his historicity is questionable. And then also the fact that there were eight popes between 1530 and 1664 who affirmed the authenticity of the bull, and subsequent popes did as well. And there were three commissions, and Rosalia shows this in her book. There was a commission in Salamanca, there was a commission in Bologna, and one in Rome under the Holy Office, and all three affirmed, after careful study with great scholars, the authenticity of the bull. I think there are authentic copies of the bull. But some people say, well, we don't have the actual copy. Do we have the actual copies of the Gospels? No. Yeah, we believe they're divinely inspired. Where is the original copy of the letter of Paul to the to the Romans? We don't have it. We have to trust the tradition. So, and I think it exists somewhere. Rosalia believes that bull exists.
I do believe that 100%.
So I don't doubt the authenticity of it. I even a scholar as great as Father Manfred Hauke, I know he's taught some of the Friars of the Immaculate in Lugano. He wrote this book, Introduction to Mariology, which was just translated. He referred in the Italian edition to the 1322 bull as un falso, like a false document. And then I was reviewing his book and the translation for Catholic University of America Press, and I made a point of this. So at least in a footnote, he explains that the authenticity was challenged by Lannoy and also Ludovico Saggi, writing 1967, I think his book was published. And Saggi just resurrects the arguments of Lannoy. Nothing really, I think, creative, but the Carmelites, for some reason, sided with Saggi after Vatican II. And now the Carmelites, I've spoken to some of them, they don't want to talk about the Sabbatine privilege. And some of them are almost embarrassed by it. But yet, St. John the 23rd, when he soon after he was elected Pope, he goes he celebrates Mass. He knew French very well. He celebrated Mass in San Luigi dei Francesi. And of course, what we call the Tridentine Missal. But he gave a homily in French, and then it appeared in the L'Osservatore Romano, which you found. And there he praises the last real pope, because there was an anti-pope, John the 23rd, but the last real pope named John was John the 22nd, who died in 1334. And he said, this was a great pope. And he said, you know, to him we owe the paternity of the Sabbatine privilege, so precious and so dear to those who wear the scapula of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. There was the promise that those who wore the scapula, if they needed to go to purgatory and they observed chastity according to their state in life, or said certain prayers, or fasted on special days from meat, Our Lady would intercede, especially on the Saturday after their death, because Saturday is the day devoted to Our Lady, to free them from purgatory. And Rosalia, maybe you could talk about how this Sabbatine privilege shows Our Lady as the mediatrix of grace, her suppliant omnipotence, and also her role as co-redemptrix.
Absolutely. And I was going to tell you, Father Elias, also that in the course of the research, I discovered that in 1922, a theologian at a Mariological Congress in Belgium said these words, that if Our Lady were ever someday to be declared mediatrix of all graces and co-redemptrix, that it will be due in large part to the scapular, which is the visible, tangible sign of her intercession and the promise that she can keep. And I also wanted to tell you this. In the decree of the Holy Office of January 20th, 1613, of the Sabbatine privilege, the bull of John the 22nd is prefaced. His bull, Sacratissima Uti Culmine, is prefaced in that decree. And this was found in the Indulgentiarium of December 1st, 1866. Now, in these documents, they're prefacing the bull of John the 22nd. Now, would these holy fathers, who are very meticulous, that in anything that is issued by the church, avowed by the church, promoted by the church, would not be authentic, would they be prefacing the bull of John the 22nd if it were not authentic? There is just so much here that I discovered.
So just to get, you know, when you said that, you know, the Sabbatine privilege was given to Pope John the 22nd, and it was a further grace given to those who wore the scapular, as Dr. Fastigi said, that those who wear the scapular faithfully observe chastity according to their state in life, and was either pray the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary or the Divine Office. And if they couldn't read, they could fast and abstain from meat on Wednesdays and Saturdays in honor of Our Lady. That was all given to John the 22nd. He also had a vision of Our Lady. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. He had a vision of Our Blessed Mother. Yes. And also what I did want to tell you is that I know that there's a lot of controversy about this. I do know that there are notarized copies of the bull. And there was one, an apostate. He was a Carmelite. His name was John Bale. But later on, he converted and went to the Church of Henry VIII. But before that time, he was a Carmelite. He wrote his testimony. He witnessed and attested to the fact that in the London Library, he saw, witnessed, and read the bull of John the 22nd. It was there. Okay. And then, of course, you know, we know that the libraries and the monasteries were burned to the ground, you know, by Henry VIII after all of that took place. So, but he attested to the fact that he saw it. And he is noted among the Carmelite historians, even though he was an apostate after that. But there was, it was also the summary of indulgences for the brothers of the scapular was confirmed on April 8th, 1908 by the Sacred Congregation of Indulgences. And it distinctly pointed out the Sabbatine privilege of John the 22nd, which was approved, as Robert said, and confirmed by Clement the 7th, Pius the 5th, Gregory the 13th, and so many others. So we know that what our Blessed Mother promised is real and true. Now, there have been saints that have had visions of those that were in purgatory. And even, I thought it was St. Teresa of Avila, Robert, correct me if I'm wrong. Did she not make a mention that she saw the Carmelites go straight to heaven because of the bulls? And
She said, St. Teresa writes in her autobiography, I think it is, that she said there was a pious lady, a laywoman who she knew who died. And she said that this lady, she saw her soul go straight to heaven because she wore the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
That's right.
And we have evidence, of course, that this Sabbatine privilege, that they say that in the life of St. John of the Cross, that when he died, the bells of the friary were ringing midnight of Saturday as he passed from this world. And we have a modern day saint, John Paul II, who, as Dr. Fastigia, you mentioned, he said he wore the scapular since he was 10 years old. Yes. And we know that he lived such a good and holy life that he must have observed all the conditions for the Sabbatine privilege, because when he died on the first Saturday of April. So
yes.
Our Lady is keeping her promise. If you do what I ask you to do, she's going to keep her part of the promise. And that's something that I read an article. Actually, it was written by, it was translated by the Carmelites, and I'm surprised that they've forgotten this. There was an article written by St. Claude de Colombier, the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, in which he testified to the beauty and the importance of the scapular devotion. And he mentions, like you do, Rosalia, that St. Simon Stock was such a noted man of holiness that one of the things that you could look at as being validity for the scapular vision was that he was known to be such a great and holy man that no one would doubt his testimony. If he said Our Lady appeared to him, he was so holy that people would say, we cannot doubt it. And he goes on and gives so many beautiful supports and defense for the scapular devotion. We're going to reprint that in a future issue of our Missio Immaculata magazine, because it's so important. A witness of a saint to the importance of a sacramental.
Yeah.
And to, as he said, the knowledge of Saint Simon Stock and his holiness was so well known in the 18th century. I couldn't think he lived in the 1700s, Saint Claude Day, that almost like everybody forgot about him and listened to all these heretics and these people who doubted the supernatural. So
exactly right, Father. Yes, you're exactly right. What I wanted to make mention of one more thing, Father. In the course of the research, I came across a French book that talked about two incredibly beautiful paintings in Sicily, because the devotion to the scapular, you know, when the Carmelites went from the east to the west, some went to France, some came to England, some went to Sicily. So the devotion was very strong in Sicily. That there are two paintings inside of two different churches that, because at the time, there was no printing press, people didn't know how to read, the faith was transferred not only by word of mouth, but by pictures. So they painted these, and it was a 30-foot high painting in the church of San Martino in Corleone, Sicily, that by the grace of God and the assistance of the Mother Superior in Rome, we traveled there and went into this church and photographed this painting, which tells the entire story of the scapular from Our Lady surrounded by the angels, the souls in purgatory and flames. It also shows John the 22nd when he received the vision, and then it shows him holding the Sabbatine bull in his hands. These paintings were done by a Carmelite by the name of Thomas de Vigilia, who based these paintings on the bulls that were issued by the Holy Fathers from the church. So these were authentic, beautiful paintings painted in 1492. And I was able to photograph them, and they are in the book. And it also has a description of what each picture means. So our lady's in the center. She's surrounded by all these different pictures explaining the scapular devotion. And we're talking 1492, the devotion based on the bulls issued by the Holy Fathers. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was just completely amazed that they're absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And so there is so much proof, Father, so much testimony of the historians, so much documentation, which I found when I was in the libraries, the actual the recordings of the Carmelite historians, many for hundreds of years, that prove that she did appear. She made this promise and she did appear. So what we're talking about is Our Lady gave us the privilege of preservation and the privilege of delivery. She's preserving us from the fires of hell, and she will deliver us from purgatory the first Saturday after our death if we follow the conditions that she laid forth to Pope John the 22nd.
Well, we thank you, Rosalia, for going through such great length and so many years of study and whatever to produce this great book again. The name of the book, the complete title of it again is?
The Brown Scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Authenticity and Definitive Proof.
And I saw that you can get it online through the Marian Catechist website. I think also Queenship Publishing also has.
I do have the website if anyone is interested. It's www.queenship.org. And the toll-free number is 800-647-9882.
And we'll put that information at the end of this video as well so that people can look up that book. And you're working, I think you told us, on a book, a much simpler format for families and for general reading to help just reinforce all this great research that you did.
Well, yes. I mean, this book is a little bit overwhelming. I mean, it is 800 pages, but it did turn out to be a defense. So it does have the proof of the objections and the defense and the authenticity. But my spiritual director did ask me to do one on a little bit more simple level, less pages, more simplified for families so that they would at least understand the principles of the devotion, why we wear it, and how Our Lady does keep her promise, which we know she always keeps her promises.
Well, we pray that you'll be guided by your guardian angel and Our Lady to get that book completed and out there, so necessary in these days in which we live. And Dr. Fastigi, maybe you could just briefly tell us, you know, what is the significance of this, those who oppose the scapular, and why this teaching of the Jansenist is so pernicious, you might say, and how it affected especially our belief in sacramentals.
Yes, I mean, later the Jansenists were opposed to devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So there's within that movement, this opposition is a quasi-Protestant mindset where they don't like sacramentals. And also what is significant is the opposition to the power of intercession of Our Lady and also her universal mediation of grace, which has been affirmed by numerous popes. But as Rosalia knows, Pope Benedict XV referred to the suppliant omnipotence of Our Lady. St. John Paul II in Rosarium Virginis Mariae referred to Mary's being her omnipotence through grace, omnipotens per gratiam. And I think there's a resistance here to the importance of the universal maternal influence of Our Mary in the work of redemption, in bringing us the gifts of redemption, which even Vatican II in chapter 8 of Lumen Gentium affirms. But this, it was Pius XI was the first pope to publicly refer to Mary as co-redemptrix. And it's significant that on the 600th anniversary of the Sabbatine bull, he writes a letter to the superior of the Carmelites who had your name, Father Elias, but Father Elias Maginus. And this is March 18th, 1922. And he stated, you ask us to recommend at the closing of the sixth centennial commemorating the universal diffusion in the Church of the Sabbatine privilege to the faithful throughout the Catholic world, to the devotion to Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the sodalities for lay people, which take their name from the Virgin herself. We willingly do so with this letter. So here's a Pope recognizing the sixth centenary of the bull. Yeah. And this is 100 years ago, or almost 100 years ago. So yeah. I think popes have endorsed this because they realize how important the Blessed Mother is. That, yes, Jesus is the one who merited redemption, of course, by his blood on the cross. But Mary's been recognized as the one who, under the cross, united her passion to the passion of our Lord. And so she can rightly be called co-redemptrix. And it's interesting, there are three cardinals who endorsed Rosalia's book, Cardinal Gagnon, Cardinal Burke, and Cardinal Lorenze. And I remember Cardinal Gagnon saying, because popes and saints have referred to Mary as co-redemptrix, it would be unthinkable that Catholics would oppose this title, this beautiful title. And in a way, yes, she united herself with our Lord under the cross, with and under him. But now she's been given, as our mother in the order of grace, the privilege of interceding for the children of her son. She did not lay aside this maternal duty when she was assumed into heaven, but by her constant intercession brings the gifts of eternal salvation to the children of her son. And she does that even in purgatory. Yes, they're saved, but her powerful intercession enables them to be released from purgatory into heaven.
Well, like a good mother, she doesn't want to see her children suffer anything, you know, so she doesn't even want them to have to suffer in purgatory for, and especially if they've been so devoted to her and tried to fulfill her promises. Dr. Fastigi, want to thank you for your input today. And, you know, of course, it would be quite clear that Our Lady's maternity for us was born at the foot of the cross, where she became co-redemptrix. She became our mothers in a special way. Behold your mother. And so putting on the scapular is just really trying to take Our Lady into our own personal life and put her under her mantle of protection, which she has shown, and which I hope in a future episode with Rosalia and you, Dr. Fastigi, to talk about some of these miracles, because I think this time period, 2021 to 2022, I think is a special, I hope someone will proclaim it a jubilee year for the scapular and the Sabbatine privilege, because really this is a holy year of grace and time, because who knows who's going to be around for the 800th anniversary or 775th. But we have here the 770th anniversary of the giving of the scapular, that great promise of Our Lady. Yeah. And next year, the 700th anniversary of the Sabbatine privilege. These two great graces, which has made, as some have said, you know, the scapular is probably the most popular Catholic sacramental in the history of the Church. You know, that and the rosary, as Rosalie, I think you mentioned, you know, there are saints who said it's the scapular and the rosary that's going to save the world. And I think that has to be our armaments as children of God going into these times in which we live, that we need to stay close to Our Lady's scapular and stay close to her rosary.
Yes, absolutely. And one last thing I'd like to say, Father, is, and we will talk about this hopefully at a later time, the prophecy of St. Dominic, where he said one day to the scapular, Our Lady, to the rosary and the scapular, Our Lady will save the world. Where I'd like to talk about it another time, how it was fulfilled at the apparitions at Fatima, how this prophecy was fulfilled, and how the two are inseparable. You cannot separate the scapular from the rosary and the message of Fatima. So that's a whole nother session. But I would like to thank you with all my heart, Father, for inviting me to participate in this discussion today, and at least helping to educate others on the power of the promise of our Blessed Mother and the reason why she wants us all to wear it. But thank you so much, Father.
Well, yes, I want to have another episode with you and Dr. Fastigi, because I think this is so important. And we can talk, I'm sure, volumes about the evidence of how Our Lady has shown her promise and has kept her promise to those who wear her scapular and fulfill the things she asks. So let us close with a prayer, asking Our Lady especially to bless us and to bless our efforts and those who will be listening to this conference, that they will be touched and be moved. If they're not wearing the scapular, that they will promote it and live it and take her upon her sacramental upon their shoulders, and then take up her yoke of great love and service and her great protection. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Saint Joseph, the Saint Elias, Saint Eliseus, all the Carmelite saints, and especially Saint Simon Stock, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again. God bless you all.
God bless you, Father.
God bless you. Thank you.
Ave Maria. After watching this video, if you would like to grow in love and knowledge of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, consider a subscription to the Missio Immaculate magazine. The Missio is a bi-monthly magazine published by the Franciscans of the Immaculate for over 15 years. Every issue of the Missio features articles about Our Lady's privileges and her mission in the church and world for the sanctification and conversion of souls. The Missio takes to heart the ancient saying of the church, De Maria Nunquam Satis, of Mary you can never say enough. You can subscribe online at missiomagazine.com, that's M-I-S-S-I-O, magazine.com, or go to the homepage of airmaria.com. Back issues of the Missio are also available upon request. The Missio is a practical way to behold your mother and take her into your home. Ave Maria.